Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. If you'll open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. In a very personal section of Scripture dealing with our Lord, the disciples, in which we learn a number of things. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And first of all, let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about Thomas. Tish, what's the status of Thomas at this hour?
When I talked to Terry just a couple hours ago, he's having lots of drugs now, to where he's all loopy. He's out of it.
They have him on drugs.
Yes, and so he's just kind of out of it and giggling and carrying on.
No.
Which my deal is.
What kind of drug is that?
I don't know. I never heard of it. But my deal is that just keep him drugged till it's over.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want to do.
How is his father Rick doing with his eye cataract exam?
She said Rick came out of that really good. He's doing good.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had it this morning.
Okay. Yeah. And he's doing okay.
And he was doing okay. Yeah. He's
okay.
Sleeping off and on today.
Okay. When I was at the hospital yesterday, I said, "Understand, you're getting the operation tomorrow on cataract." I said, "I'll come up and put my fingers in your eye and see if you can see them coming at you or not." And we'll continue to be in prayer. And how is Terry doing?
Terry's doing good.
Good.
They're all spiritually, they're holding up really well.
Okay.
I think that Thomas is holding up.
Yeah, because Thomas is doing so good with the spirit.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yep, he seemed to be. So it's good. Okay.
And they are setting up a blood drive fundraiser.
Now, do you know when that'll be?
They have 2 days. It looks like they're going to do one at the high school on June 4th.
June 4th.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the 25th.
Of June. Now, since the first blood drive isn't until June, nobody can give to him until then?
I think now that it's set up, they might be able to.
Can you find out for me?
Yeah. So you might be able to now that it's set up, but I didn't realize that until Monday that they couldn't even give because it wasn't set up yet.
Okay.
Apparently, Carter does fundraising too for it. They'll be promoting it with Carter.
Okay. If you can find out if we can give in to his account, let me know. I've never given blood, but I will.
Leslie, what high school? Which high school?
Clark High School.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally you can go to like the Carter Blood Bank. You know, they have a little satellite offices and just go there and just and put it in.
And I think you'll be able to do that now that he's set up in the system.
Okay.
I think
what they're doing is they're doing it at the school, so they're having a drive that any of us could go just to.
Yeah.
It all goes into a bank anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue to be in prayer for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue to be in prayer for Terry, and for Rick, and for Thomas, the doctors, and Jim. How's the nail?
Much better, thank you.
Okay. Has she gotten the results of MRI yet? MRI. She does have one. Have they gotten your results back? Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of top of my mind right now? Yes.
I have a high school friend. Her mother-in-law is, like, so to speak, on death's bed.
Wait. You got a high school?
Friend's mother-in-law.
Okay. You put that all together so quickly. I didn't figure out who it was.
Anyhow, she's like on death's bed. You know, she recovers and she goes back. She recovers and it's to a point now where they're kind of hoping that she just goes on with the Lord and be done. And she is a believer. Right?
Okay, good. Okay. Now that should not be for all mother-in-laws that they will go home to the Lord. That's for that mother-in-law. There. Okay. I got it.
Be afraid that she dies.
Be sure we understand. That is not a.
I forgot about that situation.
That's not a universal mother-in-law prayer. All right.
Oh, Donna Cameron.
Christy's grandfather, Christy Bryan, is really sick, and they're considering putting him under one hospital.
Her grandfather. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. What's his status right now?
I talked to her yesterday, and she said that they were supposed to meet with the doctor. Her mom was going to meet with the doctor yesterday afternoon, and I hadn't heard anything.
Okay. Oh. We'll be in, continue to be in prayer for him too then. Absolutely. And be in prayer for, yes?
The late son, Ron, our friend and a veteran in Tucson, looks like his surgery will be scheduled about 5 April, around the 24th or the 25th. And they're bringing in a special doctor, a doctor team. They're going to be doing a procedure which is, I've been trying before, to take care of that situation. So we still need to hold him up in prayer.
Okay, we definitely need to be in prayer. Yep. And Judith Hoffman. Now you know Judith Hoffman. She's the cat lady.
Oh yeah.
She likes the big cats and all. Her mother is somewhat close to going home with the Lord, and but she's kind of recovers and recoups, and you know they're all ready to talk about their funeral arrangements, and now she's just feeling great. So, but let's be in prayer for Judith Hoffman and family this time. And let's see, be in prayer for each other. Yes.
Sharon.
And Sharon, let's continue to be in prayer for Sharon. And as she continues to fight problems. And let's see. It seems like there's someone else. Let's be in prayer for the Daigs. I guess they're in town now. They're in town. I mean, they're in Texas. Yeah. Okay. So we need to be in prayer. Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our wonderful text dealing with Jesus Christ's discussion of his coming from the Father to the earth and going back to the Father. That's very heavy on his mind, going back to the Father. And the more I study this, the more I'm going to not so much change, but add a full momentum to any funeral I do where I know the person's a believer. But this to me is just so powerful. The full concentration that Jesus Christ has as the fact that he is going to the Father. Going back. Came from the Father back to the Father. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this passage of Scripture. Hours before our Savior is crucified, these are the things that he talked about. These are the things that he taught. This is his compassion for these men and for us. And Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see now. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 26 of John 16. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. Now remember, the whole point is, he doesn't have to. And the reason he doesn't have to intercede for us is because of verse 27. So let's move into verse 27. For I will not intercede for you. You don't pray to me and I turn to the Father and say, this is what that person prayed. Why not? You go straight to the Father. Why? For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come forth from the Father. Now, here's the personal God, sovereign, omnipotent God, and yet he loves us individually. Loves us individually. Now, I want you to know right off something not said here. Note right off, Jesus Christ does not say at the end, now, and have believed that I came forth from the Father and will answer your prayers. He doesn't say that here. Why doesn't he add that little statement that's been such an issue here? He will answer it if we pray in his name. Why doesn't he do that? It's a very simple principle. Love sees a need. Love meets that need. God the Father loves us, and that's what love does. It doesn't even need to be said. This is what his love will do. All right, then the principle. Coming off of verse 26, Jesus Christ does not need to intercede or plead or even request of the Father to hear our prayers or even to love us. People, we have a personal, loving God, the Father. Now, the Greek text, I just want to emphasize it. I won't develop it long, but the Greek text here starts off with an emphatic personal pronoun, which I don't want you to miss the drama here, which is used to place strong emphasis on the person. For he himself. See, you will note even in the English, we know who is being talked about, God the Father. But Jesus Christ places emphasis on the Father. For this conjunction explains what is said at the end of verse 26. I'll not intercede for you. Why not? This conjunction says, explains why not. For he himself, the Father, and it has a definite article, God the Father of Jesus Christ and of us all, for he himself, the Father. Boy, you can't get more emphatic, more dramatic. He himself, the Father. Do you get it, men? I'm talking about God. He's your Father. Without without intercession on my part, loves you. For he himself, the Father, loves you. Now, we end up with something. We move into something here. The word, the present active indicative of phileo. Phileo. Not agape. Not agape, but phileo. Now, some try to make something out of the fact that it's phileo and not agapao or agape. Agapao is supposed to be this richer love. Okay, people, please learn from this. Jesus Christ chose phileo. This is a father's love for his children. This is paternal affection. Paternal affection given in this word. I want to show you a beautiful verse. Look at John 5. I'm sure I studied John 5. I don't want to know how long ago it was, so don't come and tell me. But let's look at John chapter 5. And I want you to know something beautiful in verse 20. John 5, verse 20. Now, I'm just going to tell you what we're going to see. Phileo, the word phileo, is used of the Father's love for His own Son, Jesus Christ. So it isn't like it's a less love here in John 16. Now look at John 5, 20. For the Father, definite article, loves the Son. And the word for love is phileo. Phileo. And shows him all things that he himself is doing, and greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel. All right, now here the word I want you to pay attention in this verse is phileo. It is used of God the Father's love for his own Son. So we're not getting some kind of a secondary love here in the Gospel of John 16. So let's go back now to John 16. See, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, agapao. So loved the world, agapao. John 16, in talking about the Father's love toward us, it's phileo. Paternal. Affectionate love. Now, why does the Father love us? What is there about us that he loves in this special, paternal, affectionate way? Look what it says. Chapter 16. Because you have loved me. Perfect active indicative of the same word, phileo. Phileo, good friendship, love. Again, the Greek is more emphatic. And I like to point these out to you, just for fun. Because you have loved me. You know what the Greek says? It makes funny English, but it makes great Greek. You, me, loved. That's what the Greek says. You, me, have loved. Now look at verse 14. Look back up in John 16, verse 14. Remember this one? He, me, shall glorify. See? Remember that word? He, me, shall glorify. Now, in this verse, he has, you, me, have loved. Just, I know it's not anything you're going to go home and go, wow, that was just really overwhelming. But I want you to appreciate the flow of the drama here that's going on inside of Jesus Christ. You, me, have loved. For he himself, the Father, loves you because you, me, have loved. Perfect tense places emphasis on the present result of the past action. Past they loved him at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as Plummer points out, and every now and then I'll refer to Plummer, I've grown more and more appreciative of his scholarship work in the Greek. And Plummer, Alfred Plummer says, love begets love. We love his son. This attracts the love of God toward us. Love begets love. It's like a parent in most cases. You have a son or daughter, and they fall in love and they marry someone. You love that person because they love your son or daughter. And because they love your son or daughter, you love them. Love begets love. So this is what's going on in this respect. So we love his son. This attracts God the Father toward his love toward us. Their love has faith as its condition or foundation. In other words, we can put it this way. I believe, therefore I love. And we've already seen that thoughts precede. So I know thoughts precede faith. I know, therefore I believe. And now, because I believe, I love. So spiritual love is preceded by thought and by faith. Obviously, it's preceded by faith, faith in the Holy Spirit. So it's preceded by faith. And it's preceded by thought, then by faith. And then love is a result. So first we know and believe that God so loved us that he sent us his son. Then we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Okay? Let's look at verse 27 now. 27. And have believed, continuing the race now, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. And have believed is a perfect active indicative of pistuo, to believe, have faith. Again, the perfect tense. In the past, they believed that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, sent of God. That I came forth. This is what they believed. That I came forth. Aorist active indicative of ek erkomai. All right, now you're going to have to stay with me for a little bit here, because now we're getting into some fun on theology and understanding things that we need to know. All right, ek erkomai. All right, this is E-X-C-H-O-M-A-R. M-A-I, excuse me. Ek. Wait a minute, I left out something. Yeah, E-R. That didn't look right. E-X-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Ek erkomai. Okay. To go. This is out. This is to go. To go out. Now this is going to make sense in a minute. Don't sit there and laugh at me. This will be important in a moment. Okay. So, out. To go out. All right. This is going to become theologically a great debate in theology. To go out or to come out. Now, your King James, if you have a King James, has interpreted, it says, that I came out from. The NIV, that I came from. The NASV, that I came from. I like the King James here. The King James is pulling into the play the prefix of our word. So the King James wants us to understand the out, came out of. So this is what it's doing. Now the aorist tense, a point in time, dealing with the incarnation. The aorist tense here, came out. This is the aorist tense, deals with the incarnation. This is when God became man. Very important point in human history. Very important point in the history of the world. Very important point in the history of our salvation. The aorist tense, point in time of the incarnation. Indicative mood, historical reality, historical truth that Jesus Christ is the God-man. Today, we have to do something that we didn't have to do for a long time. Even when I first started doing funerals in some 36 years, 37 years ago, I didn't have to go through, why Jesus Christ? What's so special about Jesus Christ? I love the story of the preacher in the sinking of the Titanic, who, and it's a true story, was floating around in the water, and he would go up to people and say, are you saved? And almost everyone knew what he meant. You do that today, and they don't know what you mean. Who is Jesus Christ? Why is he so special? I hear his name is profanity, but what's so special about him? People, what we believe about Jesus Christ is so important to our daily life and to our being a witness of Jesus Christ. So the King James says, from God. The NIV says, from God. Look what the NASV does. It says, from the Father. Now people, I do not know why. I do not know why the NASV translators chose Father over Theos, God, when the original manuscripts have Theos. The original manuscripts have Theos, not Father, Pater. So, and let me tell you something. God is certainly preferred over Father in this case. If we're talking about the deity, and we are, the deity of Jesus Christ, that he came from God, Theos, who is deity, this becomes very important. Father doesn't give us the same theology, that he came from God. Deity, he is deity. Deity, deity. So the Greek here is very important in our understanding of who and what Jesus Christ is. So the God is much more preferred. Father, the subject of this verse, is identified as God. Look at the verse now. Look at the verse. For he himself loves you because you have loved me and have heard, and I mean, have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from God. Note verse 28. I came forth from the Father. It's the same. It's the same. Because in verse 28, you do have the word Father. But Jesus Christ, changing of these words, is saying to us some things about himself that we have to know. He is deity. He came from deity. He is deity. So this is, he is referring to himself as coming from deity. Now, therefore, they recognized that this Jesus was sent forth from God, the Father. Now, for a moment, look at chapter 8, verse 42. Chapter 8, verse 42. I know that you're not studying for theology exam. This is a Bible church. In my opinion, one of the great problems wrong in America and the churches, people do not know how to think theologically. They're not taught theology. They don't know how to think theologically. I'm a Bible teacher. And we have to learn these things and learn to be able to support, is Jesus deity? You take things like we're seeing right here. Right here shows he is deity. Now look at chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God, Theos, were your father, Pater, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Now here again, look what we have. Came or come from God. But also Father is right there in the context. Now let's note in this verse some of the words used to describe the coming or the sending of Jesus Christ by God the Father. Right here in one verse, chapter 8, verse 42. Let's take a look. Alright? First of all, you'll note in verse 42, proceeded forth. Proceeded forth. That's one word. This is the aorist active indicative of our word, ek erkomai. Okay? Have come from. You don't think this is very important to Jesus? People, this is extremely important to him and to us theologically. Our understanding of who he is. Have come from. Present active indicative of echo, to come. To have come. To be here. Then we have the word came. The word came. Perfect active indicative of simple erkomai. Means to come or to go. Then we have he sent me. He sent me. Pimpo. Emphasizing the relationship of the one doing the sending and the one sent. He sent me. Okay? So, here we have, in this one verse, all these different things. Look at the verse now. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. I proceeded forth, ek erkomai, deity, and have come forth, humanity, into the world. For I have not even come, just simple erkomai, coming down to earth. I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Personal relationship between the Father and the Son. So people, what's so special about Jesus Christ? This one verse is what's special about Jesus Christ. He is the only one that has come out from the Father. He is the only one came down from the Father. He is the only one sent by the Father. All these things are going on, and they're so important. If we were in a great with the Muslims and with all these other religions and things, not other religions, but all these religions apart from Christianity, this is essential. Muhammad can't say any of these things. Nothing like this can he say. He wouldn't even understand what all of this is going on about. But you and I have to. You and I have to understand. Okay, so there are different words for the sending or the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus Christ was sent by God. Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. Jesus Christ came from God. Jesus Christ came from the Father. Now, what is important about Jesus Christ coming from the Father? What's important about that? Look at John 6. The Gospel of John 6, verse 46. What's so important about his coming from the Father? Being deity and coming from. What is important? Verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Now, note the use of God and Father. Same person. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God, deity. This one, he has seen the Father. People, the foundation of our faith about God the Father is from Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is from God the Father. He has seen God the Father. And now he and he alone can reveal God the Father. Only he can reveal God the Father. This is what's so powerful. He reveals God the Father. Not the law. This person, Jesus, who is out from him and sent from him. Humanity, a deity, humanity. See, this is what's so important. Now, verse 47. Let's go back to John 16 now. Oh, excuse me. No, we're right here. Stay in John 6. I'm sorry. John 6. John 6, 46. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from the Father. He has seen the Father. Now, note verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That we have the assurance of eternal life is so important to Jesus Christ, people. It's so important to him. He uses eternal life 18 times in the Gospel of John. He uses life 17 times. And yet people will doubt their eternal security, doubt their eternal life. Okay, the second vital part, first thing I want you to go home with is, he is out from God, deity. He is sent from the Father, humanity, the God-man. And the first thing about this is, he can reveal the Father to us. We can trust what he tells us and reveals to us about God. And now, secondly, the second vital point about Jesus Christ coming from God the Father is that now Jesus Christ is qualified to be the mediator between God and man. I don't think this is stressed enough, the mediatorship of Jesus Christ and how important it is. You need to have a mediator. Not a judge, a mediator. One who is equal with both sides. So Jesus Christ is equal to both sides. Let me read for you. You can write it down and look for it. But let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, Theos, and one mediator also between God and men. That one is the man, Christ Jesus. Okay. We're going to see in First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2, as a matter of fact. The Greek order is important. Greek order is important. You can put a verb anywhere. You can put a subject anywhere. You can put a preposition. You can put objects, direct objects, and all this kind of stuff. I love Greek. I love it. And the thing about Greek is how you place things generally deals with your emphasis. Now, we are more accustomed to saying Jesus Christ, aren't we? That's just comfortable. But Paul will a number of places say Christ Jesus. And the point in the dealing with Christ Jesus, as we have in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and one mediator, also between God and man, the man, Christ. So he's the man, humanity, Christ, deity, Jesus, humanity. These things are so important for us to just be aware of all of the technical things going on that are involved in our salvation, in our spirituality, in our trusting of him. We have, just for an example, all of the extreme difficulty that Terry and Rick, the mother and dad of Thomas, and Thomas himself, what's going to be the basis of that faith that's going to carry them through all of this? It's going to be things that we're looking at right now. He is one that we can trust. We can trust what Jesus Christ has revealed about God. We can trust him. And we can trust Jesus Christ because he is of God, God, and he is said of God, man. He is the God-man. He is worthy of our trust, our faith. and things that He reveals to us about God. For God so loved the world. Jesus Christ taught us that. He teaches us. God the Father loves you, phileo, intimately, passionately, as a paternal father. He loves us. This is comfort, people. And He's talking about the true God. So I hope you understand that God the Father loves everyone who believes in His Son, Jesus Christ, with a special one. There is a paternal love, an affectionate love from the Father to those who love His Son. This is not human love. This is not gushy love. This is not some charismatic emotional love. This is love that's a fruit of the Spirit for us. And so, if there were no other reason, if there were no other reason for walking in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, to receive the affectionate love of the Father to me is enough. If there's no other reason to walk in the Spirit, have Him pour this love in, than to get God's paternal, affectionate, compassionate love toward you individually, toward me personally, that would be enough. Forget all of the things it does to my soul, the peace, the joy, things, self-control, all the wonderful things like that. Forget about how it helps me in interacting with people, love one another, serve one another in love, long-suffering, kindness. Put all those things aside. If there's no other reason for you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, it's that the Father will have this love toward you because you have that love toward Him. This is so powerful. God the Father should be motivated to love me. That's enough for me to want to walk in the power of the Spirit and to love God the Father. It is so vital to know, to understand the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let me go through five of them with you very quickly. One, God the Father loves Jesus Christ from eternity past. Two, God the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world. He sent Him into the world. If we just think about that, that's comfort, that's joy. Where would we be without that? Three, God the Father loves those who loved His Son. That's a relationship between the Father and the Son. Now, I'm going to babble like a fool, but I really don't love you. I really don't like you. But since you love my Son, I love you. You're really not what I would have picked out. You're really not. You're like a Corinthian. You're about as poor and pitiful as you can get. But you love my Son. I love you. People, this is powerful. This is motivation to walk by faith in the Spirit. So point three, God the Father loves those who love His Son. Point four, God the Father answers prayers prayed in His Son's name. And five, God the Father first gives all who believe in Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ. Then responds to Jesus Christ's request that He send us the Holy Spirit. You and I have the Holy Spirit because Jesus Christ asked God the Father to do that. And God the Father loves His Son, and therefore, since you are in His Son, He's going to do it. So here are some crucial points in dealing with our relationship with God. One, God the Father loves Jesus Christ from eternity past. Phileo and agapao love. Two, God the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world. Pimpo and apostello. Three, God the Father loves those who love His Son. 4, God the Father answers prayers prayed in His Son's name. 5, God the Father gives all who believe in Jesus Christ to His Son Jesus Christ and then responds to the request of Jesus Christ in sending us the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go to John 16 now. These things, verse 25, let's get a flow here. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. You will see me, you will not see me, you will see me again. I will see you. The cause of your sorrow will be the cause of your joy. All this is figurative language and they cannot grasp it. Continuing in verse 25, an hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session, and sending of the Holy Spirit. But we'll tell you plainly of the Father. Verse 26. In that day, resurrection, ascension, session, and sending of the Holy Spirit, you will ask who? God the Father. In my name. As representing me, on my merit. And I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. Not excluding His interceding for us, because we've seen He's interceding for us. He's building a place for us right now. He's our defense attorney right now. See? But as far as our prayer is what we're dealing with here. Verse 27 now. Because the Father Himself loves you, paternal affection, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth out from the God. Not Father, but God. All right, let's just read it without my giving editorial remarks. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request the Father on your behalf. Because the Father Himself loves you, because you love me and have believed that I came forth from God. Source, origin. Now verse 28. Before we get into that, I just want you to appreciate, here's the foundation of the gospel. Look at verse 28. This is one of the most powerful verses in the simplicity of the gospel. I came forth from the Father, have come into the world, I am leaving the world, and going to the Father. This is so beautiful. I came forth from the Father, commission, and have come into the world, fulfilled my commission, the cross, I save. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. People, this should be our attitude about death. I know death's horrible, especially if it's not someone that's very old. And like when our parents die at old age, I knew my mother had to go and all these things, to go home to be with the Lord. It hurt. But boy, that's different when it's a younger person. Their life may be still in front of them or right in the prime of their life, all these kinds of things. I don't care. We hold on to these things related to the earth, but in the whole scope of God, it's just such a short time anyway. It's a big time to us, but it's such a brief time to Him. I mean, the difference between living, say, 20 and 95, more to us, that's a lot of years. But you put this in perspective of God, a sigh. A sigh. That's all it is. And what should our death be? People, we're from heaven, aren't we? Isn't that what Philippians said? Our citizenship is in heaven? Isn't that what the phrase, we're born from above in John 3? Born from above, our citizenship is in heaven? We're going home. And I'm not taking away that we sorrow, but we do not sorrow as the world. There's a comfort, there's a joy, there's a peace that they, that I, that when I go home, I'm going home. I'm going back home. The Lord looked forward to this. Lord looked forward to it. Paraphrasing Patrick Henry, he said, I hardly lament the passing of this world to a better world where there is no more sorrow, no more tears, and all these things are gone. How can you lament that? To go home, to be with the Father. This is Jesus. And why is this heavy on his mind? What's going to happen in a few hours? He's going to die. This is the humanity of Jesus Christ speaking. He's getting ready to die. And whenever we, if we have that opportunity, we don't just die in a car crash or something, but if we have time, and to think, sometimes people have too much time, and 10 years in old age lying in a bed maybe, but if we have some time there, we think, I'm going home to the Lord. I'm going home. Now let me straighten up a few things here. Let me get this straightened up. Let me get that straightened up. And then I'm out of here. I'm going home. I'm going back to the Father. See? So this becomes so important. Verse 28 is so beautiful. All right, let's take a look at verse 28 now. We have a hope, the confidence of salvation in death. We have the comfort of our salvation in death, that we should follow Him after our own deaths. I came from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. Okay, let's take a look at what we have going on here. Here is Jesus Christ. Here came down from the Father to the earth, and now I'm going back to the Father. Fulfilled my purpose here and going back. What are we? People, where are we born? We're not born on this earth. We are born from above. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're down here as aliens. When we die, we'll go back to our place of birth. And we'll go back to the Father. It's got to be our thought process, our thought pattern. Verse 27, I came forth from God. Verse 28, I came forth out from God. Right from the Father, excuse me. God is into what they believe. Out of the God, the Father. The subject is the same. I, Jesus Christ. The verb is the same. Aorist active indicative of erkomai. The object is the same. With different designations. God, Father. Same. Came from God, going back to God. Came from the Father, going back to the Father. The prepositions differ. From, para, out of, ek. Verse 27, from God, speaks of His mission, Savior of the world, humanity. Verse 28, out from God, that's His deity. This is deity. This is a biblical proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. So in these two verses, we have the God-man in one person, Jesus Christ, a mystery that I just believe. I don't understand it. Can't really explain it, not in truth. But I believe it. So here's the one verse. It's the foundation of the gospel call to believe in Jesus Christ. I came forth from the Father, that's His commission, the God-man to earth. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is sent from God the Father? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? These are questions you have to decide. I made up my mind over 60 years ago now. It has never changed. Never doubted it, never thought about it, as far as, well, I wonder if that's true. I have no problem with people that have to go through that in some stage in their 20s, teens, 20s, or 30s, and more they have to wrestle with all of it. I think that's good if they need to go through that. And I'm not opposing people have to go through that. I'm just thankful I didn't. Just, That's that. Now, let's move on from that point. 2 and 2 is 4. Let's go on now. I'm not going to go back and battle that. So, this is, you have to make up your own mind. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father right now? Do you believe that when you die, you will go and be with Him right now? Do you believe that those that you've loved that have died, that they're there now? These are all things we have to decide theologically. And then they affect us personally. But we have to have a foundation for our belief in this in the Bible. And that's what we've got in these verses. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. Do you believe in the resurrection of Christ? The foundation of the gospel call. Jesus Christ came out of heaven, born into the world, died on the cross, rose again, returned to the Father. That's it. It's that simple. That's the gospel call. And in none of these gospel passages does it say anything about works or sinlessness or making Him Lord, inviting Him into your heart. Just faith, just believing. And yet multitudes want to add and giving, and still giving a false gospel based upon something that they got over here and got over there, to adding to the confession, adding to simple belief, confession, lordship, personally, all of these other things that they got to do. I want to take one look before we close with that word again, lest you be confused. That word again. Verse 28. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. People, this does not mean that He has once left the world before. It's not what this means. The Greek adverb is palin. It simply means back. Back again. That's what it means. Back again. I came from, I'm going back again to there. See how it's used? That's what it means. Go back again. Doesn't mean again like He's done it before. It means to return back to a former place. See? So, I was born at this place, and I'm going to go back again to that place. That's all it means. Now, I've not been there before, and then come back, I'm going there. This is very, very important. Just carry that through. I came forth out from the Father deity, came into the world, that's His humanity, again returning back. Anybody have any problem with again? Okay, so that we don't need to do. What a great verse for the whole gospel this verse is. Now, verse 29 and 30, we move into the disciples and what they're going to have to say. And His disciples said, "Lo, now you are speaking plainly, and we are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things, and have no need for anyone to question you." Well, I don't want to just get started in this and then have to break it, so we'll start with 29 next Wednesday evening. But this to me is just so exciting, what Jesus going on with Jesus Christ just hours before the crucifixion. So we're in a powerful part of our passage, and we're almost through with chapter 16, and then we'll go into the real Lord's Prayer, and we're going to note some things about this prayer. It is not the same prayer recorded in Matthew in the Garden of Gethsemane. There are so many things that show us that it's not the same prayer. We'll go through that, and just take a look at what is going on with this prayer that we have recorded for us. Whereas with His previous prayer that people confused this one with, we don't know what it was prayed there. But with this one, we do know what He prayed. So we'll take a look at all of these things as we go through this. Let's. Any questions about tonight? I just love what we're doing here and dealing with it. I know it's just, you're sitting there thinking, okay, I believe He's God, I believe He's humanity, and believe He's deity, I believe He came, blah, blah, blah. I believe all of that. But people, you got to be able to see it in the text and understand it in the text. Because there are a lot of people who don't believe that Jesus is deity. There are a lot of people who don't believe that Jesus is God. And so here's what the eye that will see. This is the theology of our understanding of what we believe about Jesus Christ, about God, and about our own death. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the words of Jesus Christ preserved by the Holy Spirit for us. Teach us about you, about him, about your relationship with him. And the more we can understand your relationship with him, the more we understand our relationship with you. Our relationship with you is based on your relationship with him, who and what he is to you. And because of who and what he is to you, we are in the beloved. We are sons. We are heirs. We are loved by you. Wow. Father, we praise you. Pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, have them become a reality in our soul, and then in our lives, in our own prayer life, in the comfort and the peace of our own soul, in the desire to walk in the Holy Spirit so that we might love him and therefore receive your love. So many wonderful things going on in our passage. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.